All right, let's continue on. Let's go back and review something here for just a minute. Okay? Let's come back to 1 Corinthians 9 here for just a minute. Let's review it. 1 Corinthians 9. Okay? Let's review beginning at verse 11. Okay? All right? Now, there are two things that can get people really wound up. Three things. Church, money, politics. Okay. And people can have strong feelings many different ways. But what we have to do is see what Paul said and understand what he wrote. See? Let's begin in verse 11. If we have sown to you spiritual things, is it any great thing if we shall reap of your physical things? All right? He's talking about the authority to receive money and goods from people. Okay? If others partake in this authority over you, much more surely should not we. Nevertheless, we have not used this authority. Doesn't say it doesn't exist. See? Some people can get all bent out of shape. Well, you ought to see the way they live high in the hog, off the tithes and offerings. All right. Did that eliminate that authority? No. You're talking about the sinful, wasteful use of what should have been used to preach the gospel. Right? Yes. See? Because Paul didn't use this authority does not mean it didn't exist. Because others were using it, right? But we have endured all things so that we might not hinder the gospel of Christ. Now here's verse 13 and 14 now. And what are you going to do with these? All right? Don't you know that those who are laboring in the sacred things of the temple live of the things of the temple? What are the things of the temple? Tithes and offerings, correct? Yes. Couldn't be anything else, could it? And those who are ministering at the altar are partakers with the altar. And that's with the sacrifices. Now notice verse 14. I want you to think on this verse before, because there are some people who are cantankerous enough to say that tithing no longer exists. Now, maybe you don't want to tithe. That's between you and God, see, because everything we do is a choice. This is not a sermon to beat you over the head. And I haven't spoken on this in nearly 2 years. And it was 2 years before that was the last time that I preached. So here, twice in 5 years, okay? And still, you know, I know when this message goes out to some people, they're going to say, there he goes again, okay? So I'm asking you to set aside what you think or believe, because are we all not going to be judged by the scriptures? Yes. Do we all not have to believe the scriptures? Yes. Was not Paul an apostle of Jesus Christ? Yes. All right. In the same way also the Lord did command that those who preach the gospel are to live of the gospel. Now what are you going to do with that? We don't find it preached by Peter or John, but we find it preached by Paul. Okay? In the same way also, the Lord did command that those who preach the gospel are to live by the gospel. Now, that cannot be a mistake. Let's come back here to Acts, the 20th chapter, and let's see something else. Okay, Acts 20. Okay, got it. Okay, this is after he told them he was leaving, won't see him again. Verse 32. And now I commit you, brethren, to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothing. Okay? That doesn't mean that people didn't give him tithes and offerings. He didn't covet those things for himself. Now, when tithes and offerings are abused, that is coveting. Okay? And the things that were done with the money is one of the major reasons why that organization no longer exists. Okay? Took care of those who had need. Now notice what else he says here, verse 34. Rather, you yourselves, brethren, know that these hands did minister to my needs and to those who were with me. And yes, I have worked. I had my own business while I was ministering and took very little or no money from the church because I made money doing loans. So I had two hated occupations, a minister and a loan broker. Okay. Okay, so I've worked. But if there weren't tithes and offerings, and if I didn't work and apply myself to do what God has led me to do, we wouldn't have any of the books, we wouldn't have the Bible, and not to say that I take credit for it. I have my effort, but God gives the inspiration. I have my work. I must study and know and understand the Word of God and live by it and preach it and not get lifted up in anything. The question really remains not why we have done it, but why wasn't it done when there were millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars to do it? See? Now that's what gets people's hackles up because of what was done. So I can understand that. And I can understand someone saying, you ain't getting another penny from me. Well, you don't have to give it to them. But that doesn't do away with the laws of God, one way or the other. Okay? Now notice here's something else that he said that the Lord said, just like we read back there. In all things, I've showed you that you are obligated to so labor to support those who are weak, remembering the words that the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than receive. Now, you don't find that in the Gospels, do you? But you find it here. Is this still the Word of God, and did Jesus say this? Yes, of course. Paul wouldn't write it if he didn't say it, right? So likewise, when you come back here to 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, okay, verses 13 and 14, especially verse 14. In the same way also the Lord did command. This is the only place that it is written. How many places did God have to say something? Well, once is quite sufficient, isn't it? If God says, let our yes be yes and our no be no, and he's going to judge us on that. If we have one verse here which says, the Lord did command that those who preach the gospel are to live of the gospel. Okay? How's that to be done? Do we give pledge cards and then everybody pledge? Or is that a way of man? If we are to do things, are we not to do it God's way? Is not God's way tithe and offering? Yes, it is. See, because these verses are here. If they weren't here, we'd have a different story. Okay? But I can vouch for you that this was in the Greek. Should we then send you a bill? No, that's a man's way. Should we then, as the Mormons, bring you in for a tithe reconciliation conference? And you know what that is, don't you? You bring in your income taxes and you sit down with the elder in a tithe reconciliation conference, and if you haven't paid the tithe, you pay. That's an abuse. See? In the final analysis, we all have to choose whether we're going to love God and obey him or not. Isn't that correct? See? No one's trying to take anything. Surely preaching twice in 5 years on tithes and offering is not trying to take anything. Okay? And yes, there are people who give more than others. We don't examine anyone's, how should we say, account of tithes and giving that they give. We merely faithfully keep track of it, report to you at the end of the year, and send you an annual statement. The only other time I mention tithes and offerings is when we take up a holy day offering. That's it, because I don't want to make people feel under compulsion that they must give. It's a free choice you have to do, just like you have to choose to keep the Sabbath. You have to choose to love God. You have to choose to keep the holy days. Isn't that correct? Everything we do is a choice. See? Okay. Let's look at some things here in addition to it. What do I have here? Luke 14. Let me take a look. Now here we have the parable of the pounds. Now pounds, that's talking in British currency. Luke 19, not 14. Beg your pardon. Can't even read my own notes. Okay, Luke 19. Now, what are we to do with what we receive? Number one, it belongs to God. It's not anyone's person to do with it as he see fit. And the money is to be used to preach the gospel and to serve the brethren. That's what we do. If we love God, we're going to feed the flock, correct? All right? But here's what we are to do. And let's pick it up here, verse 11. Now, as they were listening to these things, he spoke a parable because he was near Jerusalem, and they thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. Therefore, he said, a certain nobleman sent out to a distant country to receive a kingdom, set out, rather, to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and to return. And after calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 pounds and said to them, trade till I come back. But his citizens hated him and sent an ambassador after him, saying, we're not willing to have this man rule over us. Now it came to pass that when he returned after receiving his kingdom, he directed that those servants to whom he had given the money be called to him in order that he might know what each had gained by trading. And the first one came up and said, Lord, your pound has produced 10 pounds. Then he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you have been faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. The second one came saying, Lord, your pound has gained 5 pounds. And he also said to this one, and you be over 5 cities. Now what are we to do with the money of God? Because it's God's money. See? We are to make it increase. How do we make it increase? By using it to produce the things and the methods of doing it which will feed the flock and reach out and preach the gospels to others, so that God is going to have a greater harvest when Christ returns. That's why. See, because any of the funds that come in, they belong to God. There is nothing that we don't use the money for to do what we should do with it. Now, I consider it this way, and this is the way that it has to be. And this is the principle in the Bible. A steward is someone who has been entrusted by its owner to use his goods and his property for the benefit of the owner. See? Because it all belongs to the owner. Now, what happens when that is not done? Well, look at the mess. I mean, we've all seen it, right? Okay. Now what happens when someone refuses to do with what God gave? Now you can look at it this way. All of us have a certain number of talents and abilities that God has given to us physically and mentally, correct? I mean, we are ourselves. We have our minds, our bodies and everything, and that all belongs to God because it came from God anyway. What are we doing with this asset. And this is the greatest asset, isn't it? Our hearts and our minds in serving and worshiping God. How are we doing it? Are we increasing and multiplying in that? Are we using it to grow in grace and knowledge and understand? See? All of that's accountable too. And here we're not talking about anything to do with monetary policy or fiscal policy at all. See? So our bodies, we're to be stewards for God. So likewise, anything that we receive. Now what happens to someone who received and did not respond and give back? Did not go out and work? Now, how many have seen I've seen this a couple times. It's on what, the TLC channel? What is that? What does TLC stand for? What? Okay, the Learning Channel. Okay. Saw a couple specials there on hoarders. You ever seen a hoarder? Man, some of those houses. You ever watch that? Watch it sometime. It's appalling. They never took the things that they had and used them to multiply it in service to others. They just gathered it all in their house and they had it. Everything I ever received, I have in my house, but I can't move. Really? Some of them cluttered from floor to ceiling, garbage bags full of stuff, junk. I mean, they just get it and accumulate it, get it and accumulate it, get it and accumulate it, see? But they've never done anything with it to better their lives, to better someone else's life. And so I'm trying to use that as an analogy to understand when we talk about this next one here who received the one talent. Okay? Verse 20. But another came saying, Lord, behold your pound, which I kept laid up in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you because you are a harsh man. You take up what you do not lay down, did not lay down, and you reap what you did not sow. Then he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I am a harsh man, taking up what I did not lay down and reaping what I did not sow. Why then didn't you deposit my money into the bank so that at my coming I might receive it with interest? You didn't do the least thing. Now you see, that's a judgment God is going to have to make. That's and what is part of the lesson of the Passover in it examining ourselves? What is it? It is that if we examine ourselves, we will not be judged of God. In other words, if we judge ourselves, we're not going to be judged of God. Use the Word of God and Spirit of God to judge yourself, your heart and mind, and then make sure that you're right with God in everything. See? Tithes and offerings, as we started out, is down here. Where's your heart and mind? That's the important thing. See? What are you doing with your life? That's the next most important thing. What are you doing with the assets that you have? What are you doing with your family? What are you doing for your children? What are you doing for your husband or wife? All of those are important, you see. What are you doing for the brethren? All of that's important, see? So all of those you need to consider. And we need to, you know, base it on the Word of God and take it from there. Okay, well, I hope I've made friends and no enemies today. You know, there are other scriptures that we can cover. Let's just look at one more here. Let's come to Malachi 3. Now, a lot of people, this is the hated, dreaded, you know, chapter, Malachi 3. Ooh. Okay, but let's read it. It's still in the Bible. You know, for some people, that's like a Sunday keeper reading about Sabbath. Okay, they get all upset. Okay, book of Malachi, chapter 3. Okay, Malachi 3 is quite an interesting one because this has an awful lot to do with the coming New Testament. Remember, this was the last prophet. The next one to come was Christ. So chapter 3, let's begin in verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, at John the Baptist, and he will prepare the way before me. The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he comes, says the Lord. Now that's a prophecy of Christ. Isn't that true? Yes, indeed. Who can endure the day of his coming? Now that's his second coming. So we have his first coming. Next sentence, we have the second coming. Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. For he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, purify them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem shall be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and in former years. Okay? And I will come near to you for judgment. And I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who extort from the hired laborers' wages, and against those who turn away the widow, the orphan, and the stranger, because they did not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Okay? Now we need to add that to one of the scriptures concerning tithes and offerings too. Okay? Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, in what way shall we return? Okay? Because a man's treasure is where his heart is. So God wants your heart, so he requires of your treasure. All right? But you say, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Now, this is true, and I'm not reading this to beat you over the head. I'm just reading this to you so that you can understand how God looks at it. See? And that applies to all of us. All of us. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, even this whole nation. And we have that example there in the Old Testament, don't we? Okay. So he says, bring all the tithes into the treasure house, so that there may be food in my house. Prove me now with this, says the Lord of hosts, to see if I will not surely open the windows of heaven for you and pour out a blessing for you, until there is not enough room to receive it. Now, isn't that true spiritually? What part of our lives before God can we neglect? Prayer? No, that's important. Study? Ooh, that's second, right? Walking in the way of the Lord? Can't neglect that because we're to keep his commandments. Loving our neighbors? No, we can't neglect that, can we? What part can we neglect? Well, about the only one you can't do, which is this. If you live in the city and have no land, you can't give the land the rest. Correct? Okay. See? But all the others that pertain to God, that pertain to living, that pertain to neighbors, that pertain to brethren, they're all applicable, aren't they? Yes, indeed. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and it shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor the vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord. Well, think of that relationship to the church. Now, verse 13. Your words have all been too strong against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so strongly against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his charge, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we are calling the arrogant blessed. Yea, they that work wickedness are built up, even tempt God, and are delivered. It sounds like people who walk away from God, doesn't it? Walk back into the world. Yes, indeed. Now notice verse 16. I want you to get the full flow of this and how it comes down to verse 16. Because now it blends into what? Into the church. Into us. So all of these things, as they come down here, can apply to us. Every bit of it, you see. Then those fearing the Lord spoke together, each man to his neighbor, and the Lord listened and heard. And a book of remembrance was written before him for those who feared the Lord and those who thought on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day that I will make up my special jewels. I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall return and discern between the righteous and wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. Well, that's quite a chapter, see? We should serve God with all our heart, mind, and strength, just like we love him, see? Well, I think we've covered enough on that today. So may it be another 2.5 years before I broach the subject again. Okay. But nevertheless, in the final analysis, you see, we need to ask the question, what does God think? And what does God say? What do I choose to do? And what should I do? All of those are there all the time. This is daily operation. See, in everything that we do, of which tithes and offerings is part of it. After all, God made the earth, everything in it. Okay, well, let's end it here. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.